Welcome to the Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. I'm here with regular co-host Tim Convey.
Just a regular guy. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here. I'm with Sean O'Brien.
Good energy, Greg.
I am also with my buddy, superstar comedian and ex-college wrestler, Mike Vecchione.
Hey! Thanks for having me, boys.
About time.
I appreciate it.
This is, man.
80 episodes overdue.
Yeah, it is.
Should have been the first
show. Well, I've been trying to network to get onto this show. I've been trying to every angle. Can my agent reach out? Can we have an industry lunch? And every time something happened one way or another, we couldn't quite connect. But then I sent an email to Greg, followed by a series of texts, and we finally made it happen.
And we're happy about that. Well, I should mention we are not in Randyland. We are in Austin, Texas. We are at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Adrian insisted we rent some sort of Airbnb. Is that what you call them? I don't know.
But it's an undisclosed location.
It is. You guys will never
know
find
about
us.
It.
No, they'll never find us. He wants to, I think he wants us to appear more learned. Because there's books behind us.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good strategy.
Yeah, yeah. Mike has a heart out. That's what he said. He texted us that he had a heart out.
And I'm high maintenance. I got to be honest with you. Second round of coffees just got ordered because somebody's a little high maintenance over here. And if they don't get here soon, everybody's fired. How about that?
I said to him, I go, what time is your heart out? He goes, I don't have one. I think he just, I don't even think he knows what it means. I think he just wanted to throw around the term heart out.
Yes, heart out.
It's good industry speak. You hear a lot
it
of
is
hard
good.
Outs down here at the festival.
Yep. It's networking.
Yeah.
I'm doing great networking at this festival.
And wearing the Consumers t-shirt.
Yeah, that's a first, man.
Yeah. I wear merch.
You're the first one, man, to wear it on the pod.
Oh, really?
Looks good on you.
Man, I saw one in the wild last week in St. Louis.
Really?
I just told you guys.
Just living your life?
Chinooks.
Really?
What? Went up to them, talked to them. No picture, but.
Yeah.
What'd you say? How'd you go
I
in?
Just went up and they looked, they recognized me and they're like, And I was like, do you want, take a picture? Like,
that's I'm so
he didn't want the picture.
No. I brought it up and they're like, wow. And I'm like,
they're like, it's,
I love
but it.
But
it felt nice to see it out there.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
the fact that you confronted it though.
I went up there.
That's
yeah.
what you should do to your fans, confront them.
100%.
What is this?
What did you pay for it? Did you, was it a freebie?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that, that he said he was a listener. I was like, I got this at a garage sale for
this was Goodwill for a dollar. I was like, I don't know what this goofy sign's all about.
That's great.
I've told that story before of a, they're singing karaoke somewhere and this guy singing a Ludo song. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be excited just to see me. And I go, hey. He goes, hey. I go, great job. He's like, thanks. I go, I'm Tim. He's like, I'm Pat.
and
I retreated and Emma's like, you need to go tell him. And I go, I'm in Ludo. And he's like, oh my God. But it took that many levels of me. Yeah.
That's almost as rough as at the comedy festival every night at the end, they have comedians sing songs. Mike's doing it tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing it tonight. Mike never sang a song, not even in the shower.
And we can't get Tim on it.
Who was See, him? Because Tim, I'm networking.
Yeah,
I'm having lunches.
Right.
I'm sending emails.
You got hard outs.
I'm angling. I'm on Snapchat.
Outs, man.
And I've got hard outs.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I'll
That's
learn.
A problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm figuring it out. Yeah, they were not interested in.
Nah, we couldn't get Tim on, man. Bonafide rock star.
Yeah.
Has, what did it ever? We had a little audio issue there.
No, it's good to do the sound check in the middle of the episode.
Yeah.
Great job, guys.
Yeah, taking down Randy, man.
Yeah, Randy. Wow. They love him. Be careful, buddy.
This guy's beloved on the podcast.
They'll snipe you.
Go Mike after me care. Or Sean or Tim. Don't go after Randy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Randy just shut my mic off.
Yeah.
He just muted me for the entire episode.
Love Me Dead, what did it chart at?
Number 8 on the alternative charts.
Number 8 on the alternative charts. Now your hit. How?
Never sang a song in my life. I'm serious. I've never even sang karaoke. I have no
You've
idea.
You've never sang karaoke in your life?
Well, I did with other people, but never like alone on stage Here's by mine. Myself. And I know there's plenty opportunities at the St. Louis Funny Bone.
Oh, yeah. That
because
is true.
There's a karaoke bar attached to it.
At the Backstreet Jazz and Blues Club.
The Backstreet Jazz. Give them a shout out. Backstreet
you see
Jazz
the connection.
And Blues Club.
The now, connection.
Mike, you've never heard any karaoke bleeding into the showroom.
Oh, right during the check drop, which I love. I love it.
Boom, 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 boom.
You're just up there. Yeah. Your audience in the showroom is kind of bouncing a little bit because they feel that beat coming from the next room.
And you think it's from your punchlines at first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I got a real rhythm going tonight. It's like, no, that's just Lil Jon blasting from the other room.
And I like, it'll be at a 10, and they're like, you want us to turn it down? And they take it down to about a 9.5.
Yeah.
No effect at all.
It's
shout out to Westport and the train wreck where I've eaten every meal when
it's
I'm
good.
There.
I like the train
wreck. I eat every meal there.
Really?
Yeah, they were closed on Sunday. I was like, what am I going to do for rations? That's what you guys call it in St. Louis.
Rations.
Yeah. Well, we're the gateway to the West. It's it's where the wagon trains met up. Yeah.
And then I came one time to work, and Greg happened to be in town, took me to the hill so I could be around my own natural habitat.
There you go. Did
he
you
was
love
like,
it?
Look, he's like, go ahead and go ahead and frolic with your people if you want. Go ahead, go ahead. I'm like, Greg, we're human beings. He's like, no, go ahead. I know you guys like to kiss on the face. Don't you want to talk in your language?
Don't you want to argue and throw your hands
Greg,
in the air?
Cut it out, Greg. Greg, you're making me uncomfortable.
Did you like it? Was it cool?
I loved it. It was a great meal.
It's awesome.
And Greg took his father also. So he's like, I'm a family man too. I'm a family man too.
Papa.
What neighborhood would you take Greg if he was in Philadelphia?
Oh my God, I'd take him to South Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, get him a couple cheesesteaks. Yeah, put him on the streets. I put him right on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Have him maybe grapple with some guys.
Oh my God, I'd like to test them out, Greg.
They're going
to
beat me up when I'm like, he takes me to this, Mike's going to take me to the cheesesteak club. I'd be like, I don't eat dairy, guys.
Yeah, Greg has specific requirements. What? Don't eat dairy.
Gluten
no one
free,
even knows
man.
What that is.
Yeah. Gluten free.
Gluten free. You have a gluten free bun?
You know, we tried to set up a wrestling match on the cruise with you two, man.
Yeah.
No dice.
Hey, Mike's in
you think
shape.
That you think it would still make that dream
better
come alive?
Shape. Better
Mike's
shape
Mike's
doesn't
a lot better shape.
See, can I just clear the air here? I say this everywhere, so I'll just say it here at the people say that because they know we both have wrestling backgrounds. Greg was an All-American. I was a practice squad guy for 1 year. So the difference in skill level is All-American, practice squad guy. I don't think people understand that. So
the key word
I'm making
that,
it clear here.
The key word in that sentence was. Mike's in really good shape, man. We were rolling the other day, and he can go for a while.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would be at the gym right now if not for this podcast.
Wow.
I was actually
That's
over.
Yeah.
Randy, get him some weights.
I was planking before we actually went live. So I'm letting you guys know.
And this is kind of a wall sit right now. There's no chair under Mike if you're watching.
Yeah.
He's just kind of bad.
And he seems like it's fine.
Yeah. Right? Not even breaking a sweat.
No. I've taken you. I took you to a few places. I took you to barbecue in St. Louis a couple
barbecue
times.
Barbecue is
right?
great, also. Yeah.
We had some good.
Hang
barbecue.
On.
Yeah.
Back to it. If you guys were to fight, I know you make a big deal.
I would dive at Greg's. We did a little bit light drilling on the tour because Greg, Nate has a fight club on the tour. So
you're not supposed to talk about it.
We're forced to fight for our spots in the opening. So I shoot at Greg. I would shoot first at him and then just keep, that it would be just high volume throwing because I don't have the skill set. So I'd have to use cheap moves and elbows and maybe a chair. To hit him with a chair.
I got
to
think.
Anything to gain an advantage. I'm grimy that. I don't have the skill set and the pedigree that Greg has. So I have to use my own, inner city tactics.
Yeah, there you
as
go.
They said in Rocky V.
Yeah.
Mike was a very good wrestler. What, second in the state in Florida?
Second in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Now, we just got wrestling the year before. So I'm just kidding. Florida's a great state. Florida's a great state. I started in Ohio and then moved to Florida and placed second. And I'm not going to say what year because I got to stay young for the industry.
I understand. Yeah.
You guys understand.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That was 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Too well.
Yeah. 19.
And then, 2011, I placed second in state.
Yeah.
Tough year, 2011. But endurance, I got to think you're going longer than Greg. I think if you could just keep him in there, I think you come out on top.
Well, yeah, you Greg just wear him out. Greg has this thing that some of the guys I wrestle with who are great have, where it's like we were required to do weightlifting in the program. You're required to go to a trainer 3 days a week in your own on your own time and during the day and between classes, and you would do a half hour workout. And the workout was just the most brutal thing because it was just high impact. You would go station to station, and that kind of I needed that workout because I don't have I need to work out in order to be strong. Mm-hmm. But Greg has natural like, and a lot of those guys did who were like All America's national champs. They had just so that would like kind of just they had to do it anyway.
Yeah,
because it's part of the program, but it would bug them.
Yeah,
it would just be like, why am I doing that? They're already strong.
An inconvenience. You know what I mean? Yes.
It's an, so I feel like it would be like that with Greg.
I don't know.
He has an natural
strength. Inconvenience.
He also, throwing people in lockers, builds muscle as well. And he was
Tim's not wrong, man. I mean, he smashed guys' heads in high school.
Yeah.
Very true, man.
These guys like to paint me as a bully, Mike.
He is a bully, I think.
He's not.
Mike sees it.
He's a low-energy bully.
Mm-hmm. The worst kind.
The worst kind.
Yeah. That's the ones that they mess with you up here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Psychological.
And Sean's he's a high-energy coward. And it's the
I won't argue
it
that.
All evens out.
I'll never argue that. I've never argued that.
It is a bad combination. Low-energy bully, high-energy coward.
Where does Tim come out?
Vote Convy. I'm calling
just rock star.
Rockstar. I don't know about that.
Can't get on the show, but he's a rock star.
Yeah. Someday I'll
we
be
gotta
up
do
there.
Some kind of petition, man. I don't know.
You think I should give up my spot?
No.
That would be the unselfish thing to do. Now I'm not going to do that.
I know.
Because this is the business,
right?
And I have to be cutthroat and step on people in order to get what I want. That's how you get successful.
100%.
What are you singing?
Born to Run.
Nice.
Yeah.
You want to do a few bars here?
You want to
when
work
you
it out?
Let me in, I want to be your friend. I want to find your dreams and visions.
It's great.
Come on, Tim. As a man in the industry, what do you think?
The kid's got it.
Yeah.
Is he in key?
Some guys just got it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
You got it.
I've been rehearsing that all night.
It's great.
It was good.
Yeah.
Are you going to put all that affectation on it like that?
Yeah. I'm going to, a lot of
that's
this.
Most of, can we get a little, a little lot of chorus? This.
Tramps like us, baby, we were born to run.
It's going
to
be great.
This is going to be really good, man. Somehow we got to get this pot out before the performance.
And that's, I'm doing that with COVID. Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that here. I'm sorry.
You got the cicada?
Oh, no, man. That's great. I'm excited.
The brand this week is Super Soaker.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this brand, Tim?
We were doing this brand because we were petitioned for so long. Every time we would post
about
an episode.
75 times?
Every time we'd post an episode, most likely the first comment was from the same guy.
Left.
Hang on, let me find
it.
LeFanc was his name, but I just looked up his real name. Here we go. He would always leave a comment saying, time to do Super Soaker. He would tie it in with whatever brand we were doing. Scott K., is going to be
losing his mind.
He's been requesting this for about 70 episodes, and he's consistent,
relentless.
He's also not abusive.
Yeah,
he's a great guy, and we wanted to do it sort of with the springtime.
I thought you were doing it because Italians love guns. That's a stereotype that's out there, and you guys love that. No, let's go back to the Hill and see what they think about it, Greg. Let's have a sit down. With the 12 made members who are over 80 that you guys still have in St. Louis. Do you want to talk about it or do you want me to talk about it, Greg?
Early 2000s.
That's what this is about.
Early 2000s in St. Louis, like a 95-year-old man shot a 93-year-old man on the sidewalk in the Hill.
I love it.
This is real.
Yeah. Just, do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, it was a crime family thing. Just walked up to him and shot him. And it was like a... Yeah, it was an old beef.
And then they went to the Hill.
Nobody, you know something about that?
Nobody talked.
Nobody talked. Yep. Nobody snitched.
There's a code down there.
Nobody could talk because they weren't in their right mind.
Right.
They were 90.
There's different things going on. I was excited. I mean, he's been hassling us for a while to do this. And I thought, one of the toy companies just invented a new thing. It blew up. I kind of figured it's not going to be that great of a story. But diving in, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it. These things, Super Soakers, if you're not familiar, just this incredible manually pressurized water gun that absolutely blew up early 90s. So for us, I mean, and Mike doesn't like to talk about his age because he's breaking into the industry.
Yeah.
But for us, I mean, we were 10 and 11 when this thing was at its prime.
Right.
Man. So yeah. Unbelievable. And do you remember anything from back then that people used to always say about Super Soakers? Because some of this kind of came back to me. Do you remember when it came out?
Yeah, I just thought it was like, it's at least 50 feet. And I remember it was like neon yellow and green, I thought.
Yes, but I always remember people said it was invented by a NASA scientist.
Oh, really?
Remember when it came out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It turns out it's true. Our founder, our inventor, a guy named Lonnie Johnson, he was born in Mobile, Alabama in 1949.
Wow.
He was inventing things from an early age. He's a really, really smart kid. His father, they say, explained the basic principles of electricity to him when he was really, really young, and he got super into inventing. He was always tinkering with things. The kids in the neighborhood all called him the professor.
My dad taught me a single egg when I was younger.
My father taught me to roll spaghetti. So, at least your father taught you an athletic skill.
Is that real? Do you cook? Do you get into stuff?
No, but my father really did sit us down at the table when I was like 5. And my mother would cut our spaghetti. And my father said, no more. I said to my mother, no more. These kids are going to learn. We're Italians. They're going to learn to roll it. And but we didn't have the hand-eye coordination for it because I was 5. And he said, we're just gonna try, and we're gonna. He did it in that way where it's like he's saying it, but like he's trying to keep. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it, and we're gonna learn it because we're Italians, and that's what we do.
I love it.
You understand me?
And
So now I know how to roll. And people would come over the house, and we'd have Sunday dinner, and they wouldn't be rolling it. And me and my brother and sister would be like, "Ooh, you're gonna catch it. This guy's gonna flip out on them." And my father would be like, "Yeah, it's funny. You don't know how to do it. It's like funny for them. Yeah. We're like threatened."
That's great.
Oh my God.
So he earned the name the professor with the neighborhood kids because he was always making things, tinkering with things. Some of the childhood stories is he once tore up his sister's baby doll to see what made the eyes close. You know those dolls where when you lay them down, the eyes close? I still couldn't tell you how that
works.
Yeah, that's because you're not a psycho and didn't take the doll apart.
Yeah, right. This guy did, but it paid off.
And also, this guy worked for NASA and he developed maybe he should have been focused on getting us to space.
Yeah.
Well, and not all these side projects that he's doing.
People can have hobbies, Mike.
Can they?
They can.
And maybe that's because the moon landing was fake. It would have been real if he would have been more focused.
Right. Water guns.
Yeah. Yeah. As a flat earther, this all offends me.
He once made a go-kart as a little kid with a motor that he built by himself with metal from a local junkyard. This guy was making motors as a child.
How old?
I don't have a specific age on that, but very young with the neighborhood kids. And then he also tried to cook up rocket fuel in a saucepan and almost burned the family house down.
Wow. That checks.
Yeah, so he was destined for big things. He went to Williamson High School, an all-black middle school in Mobile, Alabama. His inspiration was George Washington Carver. He was a big fan, read all about him, and that kind of inspired him to invent. In 1968, he represented his high school at a science fair in Alabama, like a statewide huge science fair. Only black kid in the whole thing, and he won. He got first prize. This is in 1968. He invented a robot. In 1968, the robot was called Linux, and that robot was powered by compressed air.
Wow.
Wow.
That's foreshadowing is what that is.
I don't even know what compressed air really is.
I mean, it's part of what makes Super Soaker go.
All so right.
That was the foreshadowing.
Not good with science.
You're not? Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. after high school, he went to Tuskegee University.
Tuskegee. Maybe it was a different school.
Yeah, this is Tuskegee.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. other side of the state. Yeah.
Sorry, man.
They also had airmen. They don't get nearly as much
ink
as those guys. He got a degree in mechanical engineering and then a master's in nuclear engineering.
Oh, my God.
Pretty wild. Then he went to work for the U.S. Air Force, where he worked on the stealth bomber program. Then he joined NASA. He was part of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in 1979. He was at NASA from 79 till 1991, worked on a ton of different things. None of them ring any bells whatsoever with me. Not as big of a NASA guy as I should be. But he developed the nuclear power source for the Galileo mission to Jupiter.
Okay.
Remember that?
Wow.
Nobody?
No.
And NASA's in Huntsville?
Yeah.
Yeah. They got something in
the
Houston.
The rocket place, yeah. It's that's Waffle Houses and the rocket place.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of, like, sort of businesses that are unmarked and unlabeled. Huntsville's interesting because it's like, it's like, oh, that's a government defense contractor.
Right.
They're not going to have a name of the building or whatever.
NASA, I think they're in Texas too, in Houston, and that might just be
that's where they launch
customer service because whenever they have a problem, they seem to go to Houston with it. So I think it's customer service.
I like it. I like what you're doing.
Strong. No, it's good. Yeah. It's good. I know you debated on punching me for it.
No, I didn't know.
And you made the right decision because it's real strong.
No, man. I just had to figure it out. You're a step ahead of me.
I am.
It's
I
really
am.
Good.
I
yeah.
am. It happens.
It happens. Yeah. That's where they launch. They kick it to Houston.
Yeah.
But I think they're controlling it from Huntsville. And then,
I agree. I know. I just was trying to get in there and.
Houston, yeah, we have a problem.
Really? There it is, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Somebody had to put a cap on it.
Yeah. Right. He's got a heart out. We could have been talking. We can't have doing that bit for who knows
I mean,
how
the
long.
People, we can't have this pointless banter go forever,
no,
can we?
No. We can't.
I mean, I got to come in and micromanage.
Yeah, I'm glad you're
here. Is that what I'm
here.
Brought in for?
I'm glad you're here. He's in the t-shirt. We're listening.
This is the journey to the Super Soaker. This is kind of an amazing story because this guy started out doing very serious stuff and then we got to pool parties
on the side he's doing but he's I mean this is a great career I couldn't
it's unbelievable yet. But it's unbelievably serious for such a like a fun invention
because I would have thought some nerds that work at Hasbro
are
we doing that kind of stuff
I don't know
and this is why we get edited right there it's
are
that
we,
language
Sean
just
are
gets
we name
cut.
Calling now on the podcast
we just
did that.
Yeah. What about your nerd fan base that you have that just got offended and is probably
going
to write a meticulous email to you now?
Yeah. Can you imagine the idea that Greg Warren has never called anybody a nerd?
I don't think so. I don't remember that. Mike, have you ever heard me say anything like
no,
that?
No, because Greg seems like he would be a bully, but he's not. He's for the everyman.
Yeah.
He really is.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Not at all, Mike.
And you know who else?
Mike Vecchione speaks the truth.
You know who else is for the everyman? Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah?
Born to run! Sorry, I was looking for an excuse to get back into my song.
Great. It was really
but you keep going about NASA.
No. And your name calling.
Houston, we have a problem. Put a cap on that, too. Let's move. All right. So guys, it's while he's at NASA. This guy cannot help himself. He's so smart. His brain's always moving. So he's got the job at NASA. I assume he's making good money. I couldn't tell you. But he is inventing things on the side all the time, including at one point he was working on a new there's some debate if it was a refrigeration system or some kind of heating system, and it is something to do with a cooling pump. And his goal was to use water instead of Freon, which would have been a pretty crazy breakthrough.
I'm not an expert here, but I'm going to say
Freon is cooling. I know.
I bet it's cooling.
Yeah. But again, different stories I'm putting together here.
Am I right or am I right?
No, Freon is cooling.
Yeah. Yeah,
super nerdy. He had a custom nozzle hooked up to his bathroom sink in the process of trying to invent this thing. When he turned the water on, it fired a stream across the room, and he immediately thought, man, that would make a good water gun.
Hey, so can I just stop you? He had a custom nozzle hooked up to a sink. He had that, but let me tell you what he didn't have. A wife. Right? Okay, because no woman would put up with that. What's this custom nozzle? I can't do my makeup. Okay. He's a nerd with no wife. That's where you're going with it.
No. You said it.
I'm just trying to piggyback off what you said.
I know.
For the continuity of the podcast.
This one hits home a little bit.
Tim, can we confirm if did he have a wife? Anything in there?
Why are you pointing at him?
I think that he did. Yes.
I thought
you. Sean, go after him. Start pointing.
He did. I can't. I'd have to look up to see if he was married when he invented the gun or not. I think that he. You know what? He was. He absolutely was. It's hitting me now because he. Let me keep going with the story. But yes,
I apologize.
He was married. He had a lovely wife. Okay. Very happy.
Don't
marriage.
Talk to me like I'm a child.
I'm just.
Please don't you
condescend woman.
Me.
Beautiful woman. Tim. Multiple sinks. In
I
the
understand
home.
You are a rock star and I'm a nobody. Don't you talk to me like
Mike's
that.
Not stupid. You don't talk to him like that.
I'll take this merch off right now.
God, no, don't do it.
Yeah. I will go bareback for the rest of the episode.
You're right, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As much as I think some.
You say it to me. You don't say it to him.
We'll like to see that.
I want an apology at the Hill, at a restaurant of my choosing, on the Hill. Greg Warren will mediate. Sean, security.
I'm going to tape one of
these. Sean will be security.
Yeah,
I'm going to tape one of these behind the urinal.
I'm going to come out blasting. You and McCluskey will go down.
So he sees the stream that when he was trying to make the pressurized cooling thing and thinks that would make a good water gun, which I think that's also cool that this guy is such a scientist and he's trying to make these very practical things and he's working at NASA, but still, I don't know, lighthearted enough to be inspired to go, well, that's a water gun. This is going to be great. No one else cares. Okay.
No,
it's fascinating.
So he immediately starts making a prototype gun. He puts this whole thing together. It's made with plexiglass. And it's got room for an air pressure chamber and a water reservoir inside. The pictures of this first prototype that he made are so, so cool. It's like, he used some PVC pipe. Yeah. And then literally, just like you picture the Super Soaker, a 2-liter soda bottle is up top. And that's how he made the thing. And that's what he eventually took around.
But what's his big picture mindset while he's inventing this? Where it's like, sometimes you want to drown somebody and you don't have access to a pool. So why not invent a gun where you could just, do it the hard way?
And it does it. But regular water guns, at least at that time, nothing kind of compared to this.
But you would think something, it's like I had kids and they would run around and I didn't want them to have real guns or cap guns because that's dangerous. So it inspired me to create something with the pressure chamber and all the stuff you were saying.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff. But it's like there's no inspiration there. It's just like the guy was tinkering with a Freon or whatever and he's like, this would make a good, pseudo weapon.
Yeah. And then he went for it. But build a prototype because he's that stuff's easy for him. You pumped air into the pressure chamber with an external piston, then pushed a release valve, allowing some of the compressed air to escape. It expelled the water down the barrel. Boom. That's basically a Super Soaker. His 6-year-old daughter and her friends loved it. So he's like, I gotta try to make this thing. He originally wanted to make these things himself, but the costs were way too high. So he started looking for a partner. First place he took it was Daisy. Daisy made, and I think still makes, BB guns. I think
that's the first.
And it's
story.
The air compression, too. It's the same mechanism.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, so
the mechanism's a big word for a kid like me.
Yeah. Good job.
Right?
Yeah, I like it.
Really, it's a mechanism. But I remember the Daisy, I wasn't allowed to have guns as a child, but yeah, they had that. They had the same air filtration system, probably.
Yeah, where you pump the thing. Yeah,
pump it.
So he goes to Daisy. They were big in the BB gun game. This is in 1985.
I mean, I was with you till filtration.
filtration through Greg, huh? Missouri Public Schools. What's up, huh?
I think filtration, you're reaching. I don't know. You almost sounded like you knew what you're talking about.
I threw it in. Half of the business is selling, Greg.
I know. Yeah.
People don't even
care.
You
told me how to sell.
You just come.
You told me how to sell.
Yeah.
I was selling
peanut
butter.
The salesman is one of his specials.
I was selling peanut butter before you made your bones.
The salesman is available on Nate Land YouTube page. Let's go to a clip.
Randy.
No, Randy likes don't have a clip, Randy?
Randy
Come
likes
on,
it.
Come on, Randy.
Well, you guys rented a house, but you don't have a clip. Okay, great. No, great preparation. Val, where are those coffees? You got the staff here working on nonsense. No clip for Greg Spencer. It's his podcast. He's the center of the podcast. You don't have a clip queued up for him? Fine. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. You lose.
So it never really got off the ground with Daisy, so he decided to
We're going back to this.
Yeah, now back to this, man.
We're going back like it's a cold case.
I have to.
We got to find this missing girl. Go ahead, Tim.
We get this done.
So he takes it to LJN Toys. They had an Entertech brand of battery-operated water guns that were popular at the time, pre-Super Soaker. That's the thing people were into. You put these batteries in the water guns, and look what they do. This is the 80s.
So that company was called LJ?
LJN Toys was the company, but the brand of battery-operated water guns was called Entertech.
So that was, and that's probably just like, it's not like it's just like repeatedly shooting at the same normal squirt gun volume is what the battery did. I'm imagining.
I would think so.
They didn't understand the air filtration.
Right.
But can I set some context for this?
Sure.
You did mention that this is 1985.
Yeah.
And something else happened in 1985.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky IV.
I thought
so we're against the Russians, okay? Everybody's paranoid that we're going to get attacked by the Russians.
Sure.
And on all fronts.
Cold War.
In boxing, the Cold War. So we have to arm our children.
Yeah, it's probably
Super
what it was.
Soakers, air filtration system to defend our freedom against the Russians.
Gorbachev.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
You know what else was big in 85?
What's that, Greg? Your the wrestling
boss.
Career?
Hit it.
Oh.
Baby, we were born to run.
So Enertech, they're in the battery water gun game, and they start. Yeah. They start.
Tim's a saint. You don't pay him
develop
enough.
The thing.
You don't pay him enough. The guy's a saint.
Guy takes a beating, and he hangs right in there.
He's in the pocket,
and a literal one. Like Greg will beat him up after he shits
pretty often. Hang on, everybody tune in. This is pretty
this is big. No.
Okay,
this is what happened here.
Let's
your
get
time
on
to shine.
Enertech's starting to develop it, right? Because their big thing is these battery operated water guns and sort of these toy guns in general. Well, in around the 80s there, some things happened. There were a few high profile cases. Because if you remember, this is when we were very young.
Yeah.
Toy guns back then looked like real guns. They were all black, right? They look just like a real gun. Right. And a lot of things are happening in the 80s. Cops would mistake toy guns for real guns. There were some incidents there. And then additionally, criminals were just using toy guns all the time.
Yeah.
You know, holding up a liquor store or a gas station or whatever, because they all looked the same. It was in the news a lot. And it affected the business of toy gun manufacturers.
Right.
So all of a sudden, they passed legislation.
Wait, baby, would you guys rob, and you left out bank, you said liquor store and other places, but would you rob a bank with a toy gun?
I would bring a real one if I was robbing a bank.
Look at you.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have access to a real one, you could technically rob a bank. I thought that would be a loophole where it's like the in court after it's all processed,
no.
Like it wasn't even a real gun.
No, I'm with Mike.
I think you're thinking of like fake cocaine or something. Like that's when you get off.
That's real.
That's when you get, if you have a toy gun and you rob a bank, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
you're in
trouble
because they think it's a real gun.
Yes.
Your defense isn't that it's a toy gun. Yes,
I could be wrong and we'd have to get Kanzler on the phone. I do think that there's a different punishment for real. Like I do think it is an easier, punishment
sentence.
Or
I'll just try
argument.
It. Let me just try it.
No, Sean.
Just give me a fake.
Sean.
I'll go to St. Louis next week.
Sean, I love the commitment to the pod, but
it's not a commitment to the pod. Sean's actually a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Have you met him?
He is a loose cannon.
He's a loose cannon.
A loose toy cannon.
He's a loose toy cannon. I wish there was a super soaker for that.
You better believe it, buddy.
They do. They make cannons.
No, but can I just say one more thing about this? But robbing with a toy gun, okay, because they're under the impression it's a real gun, so that it would be in court, it's considered a real gun. I have a criminal justice degree from Penn State University.
Yeah, that's me.
So I hate to take precedence over you guys.
Okay.
But it's a criminal justice degree, and this is what I'm using it for now.
Yeah.
So a toy gun, they're under the impression that it's a real gun, so it is a real gun in their view. But you know what I would do? I wouldn't rob it with a real gun or a fake gun. I'd use a note.
Yeah.
You say,
saying that I have a real gun.
See, that's smart.
It's a smart play. I still think you're in trouble.
And slide it.
Yeah, but I'm using my English and writing skills. I'm showcasing my writing skills.
But doesn't the same thing apply then to the toy gun? If they're under the impression that you have a gun regardless?
Yeah. Well, what if you don't say that?
Some degree.
What if you just say, give me money. Put money in this bag. And you hand the note.
They slide a note back. It just says no.
Sorry, can't do
it. For the win!
Do you have a gun? Circle yes or no.
that's fantastic.
You're not saying, I mean, you got to raise the stakes for these people, or why are they?
But maybe you write it on a withdrawal slip.
There you go.
Be like, I was just trying to get money out.
Yeah. Criminal justice degree for real?
Criminal justice
that's
degree.
It's very impressive. Yeah. So they changed the regulations from then on. Toys either had to have a bright orange barrel. I remember seeing a lot of those as a kid, yeah. Or just completely unrealistic color scheme, like we see here.
Yeah.
So Entertech sales took a nosedive. LJN was soon acquired by Acclaim Entertainment, who phased out toy manufacturing completely to focus on video games. Acclaim, at least when we were kids, big name in video games,
yeah,
but man. Completely out. So our guy Lonnie Johnson, by 1989, he's out on his own again. All these years going back and forth with these different manufacturers were not wasted, though. He was tweaking the design the whole time. That's our guy Lonnie, right? He doesn't stop. He doesn't give up.
He can't.
Yeah, he cannot stop. Won't stop, can't stop. He moved the water reservoir from the inside to a separate container on top using a 2-liter soda bottle on his rebuilt PVC pipe prototype, which looked absolutely incredible. The small change increased the amount of ammo, water, available with every refill, but it also made it much cheaper to build the gun, which he hoped, man, I'm going to get this thing made. It's pretty cool that this is the guy that came up with it. Again, he's got a real job. He's got resources that he doesn't give up because this is 5 years of this stuff. It's right. Under development. It's all going to happen. And then the laws change. The company goes under, you know, and he doesn't give up because he's working at NASA. It just makes you think about somebody else having this idea or accidentally stumbling across it who doesn't have the resources to keep fighting and revolutionize.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing rocket design during the day. Sometimes he would pull out his water gun design, and his boss would buy, what are you doing there, Lonnie? Nothing.
Is that a 2-liter soda bottle? You going to put that on a rocket?
There may be a chance we could get these rockets off the ground with water. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy, but I wanted to
tell you. Hey, but what do you say to somebody before you shoot them with a water gun? Like a cool thing, like a Clint Eastwood thing to say before you shoot.
Make my day.
Time to hydrate.
Nice.
Let me get you a beverage. Yeah. Boom. You know what I mean?
It's good.
Does anybody else have any?
H2O, oh no, you're going down.
Hey, Randy.
So he tweaks the design. He keeps taking it out to places. And legend has it, he met this guy at a toy convention.
Yeah.
He met the head of Laramie Toys. Laramie Toys was already in the water gun game, and they became interested. Lonnie goes into Laramie, right? He goes into the pitch meeting. He brings his prototype. He lines up a bunch of paper cups across the counter, mm-hmm. across the table. Goes to the way other side of the room. We're talking a good 30 feet. And then Lonnie just pumps
no
up,
way, man!
Just knocks them out, and they're all just blown away. They can't believe it.
Man.
These guys are in the water gun game. Like right. They know, and they're completely blown away by it.
That's amazing.
Man. My concern. Wow. See, I'm a little worried about this guy,
Lonnie.
Yeah, was he part of the problem in 1986? While he's playing with his guns, what happened that year in NASA?
86.
I graduated high school.
Was that the...
was he screwing around, and then what blew out of the sky in 86?
Challenger?
Because this guy's playing games with
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Took his eye off the ball.
He took his eye off the ball. Yeah. So he's like, that's not my deal. I got the water gun.
Yeah.
He's shooting cups off a table.
Yeah. He said he worked for him during that time frame, man. It's suspicious.
That's dark.
Yeah.
Not dark. I'm just... I mean, we're a learning podcast, Tim.
Yeah. And now we're
Mike. You want to
no, I think
this?
We're we're also a learning podcast. I'm part of it now, and that's what you do in the industry.
Yo,
you
yeah.
insert yourself in,
100%.
And then you guys will just be like, "It's normal."
Mike started this podcast with a dream.
I'll never forget when Mike called me and said, "Guys,
we're a learning podcast, but now we're also a conspiratorial podcast."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like this guy took his eye off the ball. And now
you got to have one Dusty on here, right?
Yeah. It's a good industry move. I'm sure Mike can appreciate that. You getting into the whole conspiracy theory.
No, I love it.
Look, you know, that was not a good day for us in America.
No, I was.
And this guy's playing games with water guns. Well, and he's working for the company.
And you know what?
This guy's great.
To Sean's point, and Sean makes a great point. This is amazing stuff. The story, no one's gonna debate that's amazing. But this guy could have like invented like a bladder, like if somebody had to get their bladder removed, he could have invented like a substitute bladder for people who are having problems internally. He could have invented that instead of a game, a toy. He could have actually helped
remarkable
humanity.
Place to
I'm
go.
Gonna go against Lonnie in this, and he could have actually helped humanity.
Mike, you...
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about.
You having some...
No, I have to go to the bathroom.
He could have... I don't got the bladder for this podcast.
Do you need to go?
No, I'll hold it. It's good to, no, it's good to hold it. It's good for mental toughness. You know about that, Craig?
Take a short break.
We're no, they taught you that at Mizzou.
Take a short break. And we are back.
Thank you for letting me go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I know you have a strict policy and you usually don't let the... You usually make the guests go in their pants.
Seems like a bully move.
We weren't sure how long you were going to go on about bladder, so we're like, let's just. Yeah. This guy obviously.
You guys took the hint.
Something.
Yeah. It took the hint when I directed it towards bladders.
It wasn't subtle.
Well, you get older gentlemen like myself in here. You have to respect the bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The call of the wild.
I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
So back to this. So he's got a deal with Laramie Toys. He goes in, he blows their minds by shooting the cups off. They get a deal and they get to work. On what was
Super Soaker.
No, guys, when it first came out, it was called the Power Drencher.
Wow.
Yes,
I actually like that.
Look
better.
At that curveball.
The Power Drencher. Oh, Mike.
Hi, guys. It's Val. It's Val.
Hi, Val.
From Nateland.
Just kept her job.
Hi.
Thank you, Val.
I made sure yours is exactly right to avoid a scene.
Val, you know me. You know that I was gonna.
I'm
high maintenance, and I have a heart out. Yeah. And I was gonna flip the table.
Not anymore.
No.
Oh, and this is to prevent
spillage. It's very
so
nice.
So great.
Thank you, Val. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's called the Power Drencher when it first comes out in 1990. Didn't do a lot of advertising, and it didn't do all that great when it first came out. The following year, they retooled the marketing, including a name change to the Super Soaker. They also launched a television advertising campaign, which I feel like every commercial break had a Super Soaker commercial back then.
Yeah.
Sales skyrocketed to 2 million guns in 1991 alone. Shortly after, the original Power Drencher became the Super Soaker 50. So they started doing different models, different lines. You had different compartments, different levels of pump. They just started crushing it. By the spring of 1992, it was just a complete pop culture phenomenon. They were everywhere. Even on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson famously soaked Ed McMahon with a Super Soaker.
Yes. Yeah. You are correct, sir.
No one even remembers that.
Hartman doing McMahon.
Ed, I'm going to shoot you. Yes.
So it's pretty great. Right? This is a pretty great invention if you were like growing up poor. And by the way, I have a special called Low Income White. You're growing up poor. It's on Nateland. It's also doing pretty well. Let's go to a clip. Anyway, I'm sorry. I figure you guys will do that in post.
Yeah,
sure.
It'll be in there for sure.
Definitely.
100%.
Anyway, you don't have enough money to go on vacation. You don't have enough money to buy a pool. So you just hand the kid this water gun and go, this is it.
Yep.
Go out and make your own fun.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Which
as
you could.
Kid,
yeah.
That's pretty great.
There's no way my parents would let me. My mom was very anti-gun.
So was my mom.
Yeah.
Anti-gun and anti-dirt bike. No dirt bikes.
Yeah, I don't think I was allowed for that either. Yeah.
A lot of guns at my house.
Really?
Toy guns. Which none of us, by the way, I mean, I have two brothers and a sister. None of us own real guns or shoot or hunt or anything like that.
Yeah.
But as a kid, there were always kids that
they weren't allowed to have either, right?
Have guns. Yeah, no. Other than my jaywalking earlier this week. It's the only trouble I've ever gotten into. But it was just constant. With us.
Really?
Well, maybe you got it out of your system.
I think so too. And then kids, I remember there were neighbors and friends where it was like, oh, you can't bring the guns over to their house. And a lot of them in prison now. So you do the math.
Sean, did you have guns growing up?
Oh, we were at war. We were at a full-blown war in the neighborhood. Everyone was packing.
Water
Everybody
guns.
Was.
Cap guns.
Water guns, cap guns, Berettas, all of it.
Yeah, that all was... Yeah, even had some of those switchblade combs too, didn't you?
Yeah, that was in there. Those.
Yeah, stiletto combs.
Or yeah,
yeah,
those were awesome.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. And you, and Sean grew up in Rochester, so you should.
Oh, I thought it was Attica.
Every day was close, shivs, man. In my neighborhood.
The knives that would go, you know, go into the back end of the knife when right, it looked like they were going in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway,
those were fun. Really? We look up that guy.
See how he's doing?
The fake knife guy.
That's next week.
We're going to be doing that. We're going to run out of brands here. Can you not?
Just they were absolutely everywhere in pop culture. Rashida Jones told a story about how when she was a kid, her Michael Jackson, Emmanuel Lewis, who of course played Webster, were driving around and went by a line of people waiting to get into a theater and just soaked them with a Super Soaker.
Really?
Super Soaker. He was like really into them.
Wow.
So she, Michael Jackson, and Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah,
she was a kid. They were all in a car.
Yeah,
and all three of them.
And stopped and did a drive by.
Was Rashida Jones a child star?
Yeah, well, her dad was Quincy Jones, who was producing the Michael Jackson records. So
okay,
can you imagine?
So that's assault, though. That is actually assault.
100%.
I hate to bring my criminal justice degree back into this.
Yeah,
but that technically is assault.
Okay.
What kind of time are you looking at there, Mike? 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
Months.
Wow.
Months.
It was a water gun, and I was with Michael Jackson.
Now that would be, it'd probably be pleaded down to house arrest.
Okay.
Plea bargaining system, guys.
Yeah, you don't have time to get in.
I don't have time to get into it right now.
You got a hard out. Otherwise,
I got a hard out.
You got to get to sound check. Otherwise, we go deep into plea bargaining right now, which I would love.
Gary Coleman didn't get in on this?
No, man, he was not.
He was a security guard.
He was not.
You know, a story about Gary Coleman. I hate to derail the whole podcast, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, do it.
There was a thing where Gary Coleman was at the end of his life, and he was a security guard. He was kind of at the bottoming out, but he was a security guard, and someone was trying to get into the lot, and they weren't supposed to be there, and he was the security guard, and he told them to get out, and they were kind of laughing at him because it was like, Gary Coleman is a security guard now, but this is what I love about Gary Coleman. He jumped on the windshield of the car, and it's like, you're not going in. You're not going in. And he laid on the... it's like, I love the fact that he's a security guard and everybody's making fun of him, but it's like, I'm still doing my job.
Yeah, that's commitment.
To the best of my ability. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah. That's the same way he committed to the Arnold role.
He was fantastic in that.
And people try to
be like, oh, well, you're, you know, at the time they were like, this is before Twitter and all this stuff. It's like, you're a loser. You're a loser. He's like, I'm still doing my job, dude.
I love that.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
It reminds me of a few sets I had when it was, everybody in the place knew I was going to eat it. I was doing poorly. I ate it. You know what, Mike? I did my time.
Well, everybody walked out.
Yeah, but
probably, no one was around.
I still did your time
no matter what?
Yeah.
I love that, Craig.
I did my time.
I love that.
Dangerfield, circa 2014.
There we go.
He don't get no respect.
So, Michael Jackson, can you imagine somebody sees that it's Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Soaking them.
Just one glove comes out of the window. And then after he shoots, he goes, hee hee.
I was trying to get into your show, man, but Michael Jackson came by and soaked us when we were waiting in line, and sorry I couldn't make it.
I love the premeditation of that. I mean, that's not like you're like just doing that on the fly in the car. That's a pregame, pre-car. Like, the three of them are like, we got to fill up the guns, get in the car, fully loaded, blast them.
So
right?
I love the idea because I'm Catholic. I know that you guys aren't. But
not true.
Not true, Mike. Not Catholic? True.
How about this idea for
you?
My
mom was.
You take the water, the Super Soaker, you fill it up with holy water, drive-by baptisms.
Love that.
Yeah. Man, convert them. Huge. Convert them.
That is one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard in this show. Ever.
I think we invented a new brand.
Yeah,
I like that. They did the
super converter.
You got a direct line to Leo, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get this going.
That's really good.
Yeah. And then you guys will be talking about my story.
Yeah.
The next time.
I'm trying to think of a good name for that water gun.
The converter.
The Catholic converter.
Converter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. The catalytic converter.
Yeah.
The Catholic converter.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Second Amendment, First Commandment. Oh my God. I'm sorry, my COVID's acting up.
All right.
It's long COVID.
Houston, we have a problem. Within 2 years of the release, Super Scorpio became the top-selling toy in America.
What?
Generating over $200 million in sales by 1992. The classic Super Soaker 50 and the 100 model led the boom. Peak popularity of this thing between 91 and 95. Obviously, it just blew people's minds when these things showed up. Just changed everything.
The number one toy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That beats Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yes. Sure does.
Yeah.
People were shooting Cabbage Patch Kids.
Mm-hmm.
With these Super Soakers.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Lonnie got rich then, huh?
Well, yes, Lonnie did quite well with the deal he cut, but Laramie, you know, they do the deal with Lonnie. Laramie blows up so quickly that they sell. I couldn't get an exact number on that, but Laramie was like, this is getting out of control. They sold to Hasbro.
And Hasbro is...
Hasbro is right up there with Mattel. Like, they do everything, including Nerf. Now, if you notice, Super Soakers are all put out as Nerf Super Soakers, which is interesting. It's a water gun, and we all associate Nerf with the squishy stuff. In 1996, they launched...
But that's... I gotta say that that's incredible that this is the number one toy. Cabbage Patch Kids was big.
Yeah.
The Rubik's Cube was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine like somebody just trying to solve a Rubik's Cube and you just busting in and soaking
and then just
it's like take this nerd.
I'll take one of those.
It's probably something Greg would do.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's what Greg is.
Yeah, on. Drown him in a locker with a super soaker. They came out in 96 with what's called the constant pressure system, the CPS line with the CPS 2000. This whole other way. It's basically still his idea, but it's even more effective where you can just squirt that thing really far forever. And then they continue to dominate in water guns. By 2016, Super Soaker sales exceeded 1 billion, and the brand was inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame in 2015. Like I said, Hasbro now owns them. And then in 2002, they started going as a Nerf Super Soaker.
But what was the, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't say it, maybe it doesn't say it, but the when Laramie sold to Hasbro, that's where the money, like whatever it was sold for, like somebody just retired.
Yeah, and I couldn't find that number, but
with $1 billion.
Yeah, somebody retired, all right.
Yeah. Well, but I tell you.
That's what you're, that's the end all be all.
That's retirement.
That's I got to retire.
But it wasn't our guy Lonnie Johnson because he's restless. He can't stop. He takes a bunch of his Super Soaker money and starts starting companies. He started Johnson Research and Development Company, as well as he had a few different companies.
He got a little carried away, man. At one point, he had this mustard container that just shot 30 feet. And they're like, Lonnie, nobody cares. Nobody cares for mustard to go 30 feet.
Nah, I love that.
Nobody cares about that.
His companies are huge. He lives in Atlanta. These companies are still winning awards. He's still inventing things. A thing he came up with, the Johnson Thermo Electrochemical Converter System. Popular Mechanics listed as one of the top 10 inventions of 2009. And he's working on all kinds of stuff for like clean energy, trying to convert heat into energy. Like he's still a major player in that science space. And a lot of these companies he started with money from Super Soaker. In November of 2013, Lonnie Johnson went and said, you guys aren't paying me these same royalties. Obviously, it changed hands to Hasbro, but Hasbro has to honor that same agreement. I did a ton of research on this. In 96, they made an agreement where the company is supposed to pay him royalties 2% for all three-dimensional products. That means the actual Super Soakers. And this is interesting, 1% for two-dimensional visual representations, meaning if they're selling Super Soaker t-shirts or basically merch, he gets 1% of that, 2% of every single gun. I think this whole three-dimensional, two-dimensional thing is where there was some gray area on the money that he should have been making. So he takes him to court, and these are just royalties from 2007 to 2012. So this is long after the heyday. Now, sales are still great, but this is long after the 90s where he was getting paid what he should have. What do you think he got paid in 2013 for royalties? Just
Mike
just,
doesn't care. Like, can he retire or not?
In 2013, they had to pay him $73 million.
Wow.
That's on top of
what he had. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. But again, the guy, he doesn't stop. He's still making stuff.
They tried to cheat the wrong guy. The guy that never sleeps. Yeah. He's like, of course I'm going to take you to court.
Yeah.
He busts the door open with a super soaker and is like, you owe me money. Starts pumping the thing. But like I said, he's still doing really cool stuff in science with all these different companies. He currently holds over 250 patents, and a lot of those are for Super Soaker related things.
Sean, you want to pull out?
Yeah, we got. We should. This is fun.
So I ordered. I ordered some Super Soakers on Amazon to be delivered to the Hilton Hotel where Martin and Randy are staying. And they went to Martin's attention, and we got here, and there's a problem.
And Sean, what did, Tim, what did Greg order, buddy? What do we have here, gang?
Not real Super Soakers. That is a super water gun.
Super water gun?
Two-pack.
And how far does it shoot, Mike?
32 to 35 feet.
Feet, yeah, yeah.
Feet, guys.
Feet, what do we got right there?
It's a 32 to 35 feet shooting distance.
Spell check was off that day.
Wow.
Spell check was off that day.
We have a lot of these. We have a lot of, there's no way they work.
Lonnie doesn't get any percentage of this.
No.
No, no, Lonnie doesn't.
Yeah. And it's only two dimensional.
This is a
gun.
Randy Brand super water gun.
And there's not a court in the land that would enforce this.
So Greg messed up.
Shoots 30 to 35 feet.
Feet shooting distance.
What is this, by the way?
That is a Minecraft version of the water gun that I guess is Super Soaker branded.
How do you shoot this?
So because they're part of Hasbro, the branding they have and the sort of partnerships is like kind of all kinds of movies. They do Marvel, all that stuff. You can get Super Soaker, everything.
That looks like a blockchain for Bitcoin.
I don't know what blockchain or bit. See? I couldn't explain either.
Neither could I. I just know the reference.
But that's, you can get Super Soaker kind of anything under the sun because of the Hasbro Nerf partnership.
These are pretty cool.
I don't even know how you shoot this thing. Whoa.
Oh, there we go. There I found something there.
Yeah, so that one, the one that Sean's holding, we have that at my house. My son, it doesn't matter where you hide it in the house, he will find it. He will fill it up.
Right.
And he will drench the kid in the neighborhood that least wants to get wet that particular day. Yeah. This has led to me knocking on neighbors' doors and apologizing more than anything else. Hey, is Anna okay? I noticed my son absolutely soaked her with a water gun that was the same size as him. I just wanted to check on her. But this is pretty cool. And this is different than the one that you picture, the original. It still has the pump, but look at the size of that reservoir.
Oh, yeah, that's all water there, huh?
And the way you fill this thing up, if I'm not mistaken, turns out I am mistaken.
Don't break it.
Just real easy, guys. That's the point.
Nice.
I don't know how you do it.
Oh, there it is. Look.
You got it.
You just put that thing under the sink.
Man, come on.
And go for it.
Wow.
It also has, in the nozzle, you can turn. It's almost like a fancy shower head that I'm sure Greg has. You can twist it from, different settings where it comes out differently, like a shower nozzle.
That was one of my first jokes. I think it was on my Comedy Central special, but the shower head, they have all the different settings.
Yeah.
There's usually only one that makes any sense at all.
Let's see a clip.
Let's go to a clip. No, it's the other ones are just for fun.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're there.
Well, like the pulsing one. Yeah, I guess.
It's like there's only one that makes any sense.
Yeah. Just normal shower one.
Yeah. It's like normal
But you, if ever I'm at a hotel or a place with that, I always go through them all. I'm
really?
Maybe there's something out there that I don't know.
I'm with you, Tim.
That's the one for me.
I did it at our hotel. They got a nice little.
Do they?
Yeah, man.
In my hotel, I can't figure out how there's that side one.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out how to shut that off to get the full water pressure on the main nozzle.
There's another thing.
Tricky. Yeah.
Right in the center, man.
No, I've done that. I've turned it all the way around, and it's still all shooting out of the around. Side one.
Oh, that's defective.
Yeah.
Is that defective?
Well, you broke it.
Call somebody. No.
You broke it.
I have to call. I'm a Marriott's reward member. I don't know if you guys are, but I am.
No. Oh, yeah.
So when I call, someone comes up.
That's great.
I've got no status at Marriott. Now, Hilton? I get what I want. Yeah, Hilton, I mean, actually, Randy's staying at Hilton. And Randy, how are the privileges over there?
I'm living large. I got a free bottle of water up in there. I got a few bucks credit at Starbucks every morning. I had breakfast yesterday morning. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Martin's living large, too.
Yeah. It's yeah,
yeah, under Greg's reservation.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some pretty big privileges.
Oh my God.
He's got rank over there, Mike.
I do, man.
He's got a lot of rank.
Hey, let me
tell you something. I've earned it.
I guess you have. Yeah, I have. Because you're not only taking care of yourself, you're taking care of your people.
That's right.
And that's what a good leader does. Yeah.
You guys
takes care of his people.
Your guys' shower heads work or?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Mike.
What?
You might want to switch teams.
No, I like to waterboard myself. Mental toughness.
Mental toughness.
Greg knows something about that.
I did.
I used to.
Actually, Mike, you're a cold shower guy, right?
I was a cold shower guy, but I got too cold. I have to be completely honest.
And you got pneumonia.
Well, it was like 8 degrees in New York for like a month. So I taken warm, hot at first, and then I turn it on cold, which is a softer way to do it.
But you still do it.
I put it on cold at the end, yes.
Every day?
I tried to do it for like 4 or 5 months because he was doing it. And I tried to do those breathing exercises. And
breathing exercises work. That'll transform your life.
Seriously?
It'll change your life. Wim Hof.
Wait, you do the breathing Wim exercise Hof. While it's on cold, is
no,
what you're saying?
No, you do them when you wake up.
You do them when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, it's
really?
I did it.
I didn't do it this morning because this call time. But
hard out.
Normally.
That's what your hard out is for.
Mark's, you throw us a hard out, we're going to throw you a hard in. That's how we do it.
I love it.
You come at us with a hard out, you're going to get a hard
you're
in.
Get up at 8 a.m. and come to a mystery house in the middle of Austin, Texas.
And a lot of books.
Yeah.
So wait, what does the cold shower do?
The cold shower, there's like multiple health benefits to it, but it's the breathing goes into it with you do the breathing. When the water hits you, your body tenses up, so you do the breathing in order to get, and it's like central nervous system functioning. It does really help with depression. You know what I mean? It really, the cold water, it's benefits to your hair and your skin, also your, you know, central nervous system, and it does help with
that. I got to go back to doing it. Mike and I did it.
We were on the road, and, you know, we did a cold plunge, and I went to cold plunge, and I've been doing cold showers. I would cold plunge 10 seconds, I got out. I was it felt like it was attacking my, the cold was attacking my joints. Greg here, mental toughness, this is the all-American mindset. Stays in for 5 minutes.
Me and Hamilton.
Stays in for 5 minutes on the first. Now, I only
got up because he had a hard out. If you. He'd still be in that.
He stays in for 5 minutes. We were in 10 seconds. I got out. But then
everybody did. Yeah, everybody.
But then I got into the hot, and then I got back in the cold, and then I did it.
Nate did it.
Nate did it.
Eric did it. Everybody got back in.
And everybody was cheering each other on.
It was really And then
and now we're all in the manosphere.
Yeah. I got a Lambo. I got pretty women, and I got a Lambo.
You don't got
a Lambo. I got a Lambo.
I guess you guys didn't think it was going in that direction, did you?
I did not.
No.
That's the thing with you.
I'm glad you took it then.
You don't know where it's going to go.
I'm glad I brought it up, or this would never have happened.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm here, man.
We're all in the manosphere now.
Yeah, we are. You got to want it.
Yeah, you got to want
it. It's a mindset.
Don't get caught in the matrix.
I don't know what he's doing, but I like it.
Sounds like real.
Well, you don't even watch Netflix.
I like it.
Yeah. It's the manosphere on Netflix,
yeah,
guys.
It's a good doc.
Oh, I thought it was Blur.
Blur? You thought he was doing Damon Almer?
Woo! Baby, we were born to run.
Are you? You know any other Boss songs?
That's the one we're focused on.
Okay,
I gotta take it one. I'm not a multitasker like you.
I got it, man.
So I do it one at a time. I have to focus on one creative thing at a time.
Tim, outstanding job on the research. I want to say
it was great. Tim, unbelievable.
I was thrilled
to
get this one. It happens with a few brands where you're like, all right, let's see what we can make out of this thing. And just a great, it just seems like a great guy. And I thought I was happy that the legend of a NASA scientist invented this thing was completely true.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Totally true.
And it was totally unexpected. I thought I was going to get Chef Boyardee. As a
we
brand.
Did it.
I thought that Greg was going to go, hey, we got to get something for my Italian friend over here.
No, not that
maybe
way, man.
I got to get something for Mr. Beefaroni over here. Greg, cut it out, Greg.
I'm a person.
He also, I didn't want to tell you this, but you brought it up. We were going to originally have you in the studio, and Greg said, we're going to need to rent a house with a big space. Mike talks with his hands so much.
Yeah.
I don't think we can fit him in the studio.
No, that'll make me feel comfortable. Meet me in the lobby of the hotel. We'll jump into a van, take you to an undisclosed location. No, that sounds real safe, guys. That's real fun.
Oh, no. I want to take a hard pause and recommend Mike's comedy specials. Low Income White. Yes. Very, very funny. Very, very funny.
Incredible.
It's on the Nate Land YouTube site. It's a lot of jokes, and they're very, very funny and original. And you'll start watching, and then you'll be like, I can't believe that it's over. It's a fantastic. And then the one before that, The Attractives, like record-setting views. It's a really good piece of comedy.
I'm sure
a lot of you guys have watched it, but if you haven't, watch it. If you did, go watch again. It's really, really good stuff. Mike, any particular performances that you want to plug or social media? Wait, I'll do it. At Comic Mike V. At Comic Mike V.
Please follow me. It's my only lifeline to the fans. I seem to be losing followers on socials. So do me a favor and give me a follow at Comic Mike V.
At Comic Mike V.
Well, I have to say it a bunch of times because I have a long Italian last name that's hurt my career. But you can find me at Comic Mike V. I have to super soak you with my handle.
It's outstanding.
Okay, I brought it back to the brand.
I like what you're doing.
You said I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I did it, Greg.
I like what you're doing.
I don't shine shoes no more.
And we wanted to, we wanted you to have this one, and we filled it up with marinara for you, too. So thank you. Thanks for being on the pod, buddy.
A 21-squirt salute. Thank you for having me on. I love you guys, each of you individually. And I've been wanting and networking and contacting my management to get on here for a long time. And thank you for having me. And thank you for plugging my specials. Please watch them. And please watch Greg's and watch... But watch mine first.
Yeah, 100%.
And see if you can get through that.
We are the consumers. Thanks, you have been money. Consumed. Mike's going to take us out with a little Bruce Springsteen.
Baby, we were born to run.
All right, that's enough licensing.
Welcome back. Since we recorded that episode in Austin a little while ago, we thought we should be current with our comments. Comments are important. Of course, Tim Convey is the one that takes care of the comments. He is the keeper of the comments. Tim?
I got comments. All right. This is from the episode where Graham Kay was our guest. We talked about Tim Hortons up in Canada.
Timmy H.
We talked quite a bit about Graham's latest special, which if you haven't seen, you should.
Go see it right now if you haven't seen it.
So many comments on that. People were enjoyed our recommendation and got to go watch it and loved Graham on the pod as well. Eric C4040 said Graham had one of the best, most moving specials I've seen in years. Jenna Obi said, Graham, quote, I'll drop the myth right now, you buddy. You want to go? He said that so politely that I laughed out loud. I love this episode. His special was also phenomenal.
Right on. I mean, spot on.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Amy Baumiller, 1034, said Graham K's special was so good and funny and heartwarming. And a good reminder not to judge others. I'm so glad you guys had him on your podcast.
Yeah, I was blown away by the special. And then he nailed it in here, too.
Super fun.
Yeah, funny guy.
Hardy Jen said, Randy staying on brand by refusing to watch anyone's special is pretty meta.
Yep. Yeah, that's just going to happen.
Guy's living his life, man.
Yeah.
I think my favorite moments of this podcast are when I asked Randy if he's seen a certain special. And he sort of, well,
listen,
he never
now
goes
wait
right
a minute.
Yet.
Now, wait a minute, Greg. Hold on. Now let's hold on a second. Oh man, this is not going to be a good, Now just hear me out. hear me out is code for, I mean, that's just going to be, hey, I'm going to throw a Hail Mary that I'll get out of this. Is it hear me out?
Andy Orr, 4753, said, is it just me or did Graham's Canadian accent get more noticeable the longer the episode went? Great episode. Graham is great. Love Timmy's in Michigan.
Yeah. It's just so, just certain words, man. It really pops for me.
I thought it was so interesting how certain words he had to train himself not to do. Yeah. And he mentioned a few of those. I thought that was really interesting.
Hoser.
Can't say hoser really down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
Well, not even the words, but there were words that he said different. What was the, he gave one really great example.
Is it sorry?
Yeah, sorry. I think it was. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yay.
He had to train himself. Because I don't think I would know. Even if I saw, even watching his whole act, I don't think I would have known he was Canadian.
Yeah, no. I mean, he tones it down.
Yeah.
But during the special, though, there's a Canadian sensibility about his humor that's just the timing. I loved it.
Daily Schmidt 4038 said, does anyone else feel like Tim's side hustle might be counseling? Because it seems like he was a weekly relationship coaching appointment where he mediates between his clients, Greg and Sean.
Have you and I ever had a problem on this podcast?
I'm aware of, man.
I'm not sure. I don't know what they're talking
about. I mean, I didn't, you know, a little context would make sense in that comment, but
I don't know what he's doing. I mean, yeah. We're friends.
Yeah, I mean,
comedians. We get along.
You know, we might not be agree like on the same type of French fries we liked, for example.
Right.
Like, but I'm willing waffle, to try what you like. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll step. But outside of that,
A waffle is that what you
I go with a waffle.
I like a waffle.
Yeah. You guys are.
We should go together and get some fries.
This guy.
That's amazing. Maybe that person can give the example. If there's a certain episode they watched that they picked up on some tension.
Yeah, or maybe
I'd like to see him find
out. Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. Or maybe they're thinking about you and Randy. I think
that could be
episode 12.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a real axe to grind with him in episode 12.
Some miscommunication on our part. And,
yeah, you got fired up, stormed out, and we had to do editing. It was a whole mess.
It gets a little tense in here.
Who's this guy?
Daily Schmidt, 4038. Daily Schmidt, 4038, went on to say, thank you, Graham, for your special. I'm a mom of two kiddos profoundly affected and one who is unaffected. Your experience and perspective is real and so valuable, specifically for siblings of kids with unique needs, but also helping others to see the balance between angst slash responsibility and the glimmers of bliss and hope in this world where, quote, special families often feel out of place. Thank you.
Well said.
Amazing, man.
Very.
Someone that astute, how did they miss the thing about you guys firing?
That's what makes sense.
Someone that astute. How did they find our podcast?
Yeah, that's the bigger question.
And make it to episode 82 or something.
Yeah. I mean, drops their own stock in life.
Shauna Robinson, 2427, said, Graham was one of my favorites from the cruise. I'm an even bigger fan after watching his special earlier today. As the mom of a son on the spectrum, I found myself crying and laughing. Thanks for sharing your brother with us.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you there are countless stories like that of people that watch Graham's.
Yeah, 100%, buddy. Yeah, absolutely.
Robert Vinnie Lombardi, who we met on the cruise, said Graham's special was incredibly moving and heartfelt, so appreciated him sharing his brother's story with us. I was also very surprised to hear Greg wasn't at the taping because there was a dude laughing hard in the audience that I would have bet a fortune was Greg. That laugh is unmistakable, or so I thought. A lot of people said that.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's a laugh in Graham's special that sounds just like you.
I've licensed it to.
Oh, is that somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting paid.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was a cue that was like, hey, can we pipe in some Greg?
I've licensed to it to a couple people.
What are those numbers like? What are those numbers like, if you don't mind me asking?
Private question.
Yeah, what are you pulling in a special?
It's kind of
a lot of laughs. It's a funny special.
Yeah, I know.
I hope you made some money there.
I'm not saying I didn't.
Dwayne Coy, 1871, said, don't look now, Graham, but the backstory about peanut butter shelf space and the strategy of selling such brands is the reason this podcast came into existence. Remember, he got real curious. He's like, oh, I'm very interested in those types of things. Like, what? Supposed to be what this is when we're not fighting. Yeah. Brian Horde said, one of my favorite things y'all do is when Sean asks a question like, what does LTD mean? And Greg and Tim speak off the top of their heads about what they think it means. Some truth, but some confusion, but it cracks me up. I could hear you guys talk about topics you don't know that well just to see what you come up with, how brain surgery works. You might get close. Then after someone looks up the real definition, Sean just comments about how he's learning some stuff. So funny.
What's that? Is that the Dunning-Kruger effect? Was that be implied with you guys?
Not familiar. What is the Dunning-Kruger effect?
I think it's when you basically
Where's this guy been?
Yeah, what?
You think you're an expert. You're on something. Like, you're delusionally convinced you're an expert on a situation where really you don't even know, the base of it.
I'm going to read it here.
If you flew a plane one time, you would then walk around and be like, oh, I'm an expert of flying. And it's like, no, you flew it once.
Let me read it here. Okay. I've never heard of that before. The Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias where individuals with limited knowledge or competence in a domain greatly overestimate their own expertise.
Yeah.
Identified by psychologist David Dunning and Justin Kruger in 1999, this phenomenon occurs because the incompetent lack of metacognitive ability to recognize their own incompetence. Often,
no, I know a lot about this thing.
Towards time. Ow.
Wait. I've got a lot of experience with it.
Yeah. A lot or just like
quite a bit?
Like a couple of anecdotal.
No.
You like know the whole thing about
depth, it. Yeah. No kidding. Man.
Yeah, it is.
Bananas. Forwards and backwards, inside out.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Are you a bigger Dunning fan or Kruger fan?
Kruger.
No kidding.
Yeah, okay. I like his later work.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good.
So to answer the question that might be applied, that might be applicable to that last comment.
You're saying that
you two might have a little Dunning.
We suffer from a...
To some degree, yes. Because I'll just admit, I just mostly know nothing.
Yeah.
Mostly, I said. I didn't say I don't know.
Yeah.
The limited thing, and that was a funny, it was, yeah. Why do dumb people think they're so smart? It says.
I'm thinking of the night I did Seth Meyer and you were immediately ordering around the cab driver because you definitely knew how to navigate Manhattan traffic and just put us
right through Manhattan.
Right into the worst traffic jam possible.
I was going by Google Maps. I was saying there was a minute quicker.
Actually, a limo driver. We had a limo driver.
Yeah. And I didn't know they'd behave unethical out there. Like, that guy was like, yeah, no, that makes a bunch of sense. So he could get a higher tab.
Right.
Going through Manhattan.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
Lesson learned.
Linda Sonamaker, 4917, said, Sean, I stir my coffee with pens sometimes.
Right?
Whatever's handy.
I mean, what are we talking about here then? I mean, this is, why use a spoon in the first place? Use that for ice cream.
Watching the detective.
Ooh. Great song. God.
Is that
Elvis Costello? Elvis
Costello.
Just one of the all time greatest.
That's
artists.
A great song, isn't it?
So good. So good.
Yeah.
Ludo, one of our first big tours was with OAR, and they covered that song, and we got to go up and sing it with them.
Really?
Yeah. Clip HQ said, this is a fascinating comment. Graham is funny. A unique style that might not be for everyone, but I could say the same about Greg. My dad made me turn off the Peanut Butter Boy special.
Okay. Because he works for who? Listen. What's the guy's name? Graham? No, I'm sorry. Graham's the guy we're talking
Graham
about.
Yes, Graham was our guest.
Graham was our guest. Who's that? Who's the comment?
That just says Clip HQ.
Clip HQ. Ah, see, right there, that's suspicious.
Spammy.
Yeah. You're not even... Clip HQ? That's not even a name.
That's a Skippy...
Sleeper. That's a sleeper cell Skippy right there, buddy.
Well, that's good.
So, not on our watch.
Mm-mm. You think this the guy that points out every week that he doesn't care for me, you think he's from a rival peanut butter company?
No, I think he's just a fan just looking for entertainment and getting his name brought up like we're doing now.
I don't think he's a fan.
I do.
I think he genuinely hates me.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's dumb. And finally.
It's happened
Well, Bob
me.
Barlow.
Oh, Bob, Bobby.
CC Peniston?
CC Peniston, yeah.
Connecticut Bob.
Bob. Word of the week, Bob, I call him. He throws me over. He rolls the dice every once in a while.
It's all right.
He's like, hey, Sean, let's throw this in the system.
Bob Barlow says, Tim, I'm surprised that you didn't call out Greg when you asked him who bought out Tim Hortons, Burger King or Wendy's. And Greg dismissed you with a, I'll get to that later.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
This is the same thing that he busts your chops about.
True.
When he asks you the same type of question when you are doing the presenting of the brand.
Yeah.
Very nice self-control, Tim.
Turnabout is fair play, I believe, is what Bob's saying.
Yeah. Bob Barlow,
man.
But Bob's saying that you're too big to do to me.
That I rise I above it.
Yeah,
yeah. You take the high road.
I do. I don't have time for the petty stuff. You
Tim
know what
rises.
I mean?
It's a poem I wrote. Tim rises.
Really?
That's great. Let's do some plugs. Thank you guys for watching the Vecchione episode.
That was a fun one too.
Man, he's the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was
machine gun, right?
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
That episode was nuts.
I guess I should say a machine squirt gun.
Yeah. He's a real super soaker of a.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He is. That guy, do yourselves a favor. Go watch Mike Vecchione's special.
Go see him live.
Yeah. And I think we did some of his plugs on there, but just
very prolific too, man.
Oh yeah. Like, turn stuff quick.
He will write material fast.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of new stuff. And then our stuff, Pottstown, Pennsylvania. You can catch Greg May 15th and 16th at Soul Joel's, Worcester, Massachusetts, May 17th. You can catch Greg Warren. And then May 22nd to 23rd, you can catch Greg and myself at Zany's Rosemont in Chicago. And then Greg's got stuff coming up. Winnipeg, Tulsa, Hermosa Beach, Hollywood, Pasadena, Carpinteria.
Yes.
And more. Tim and Sean dates coming real soon. We got a few coming in the fall. Tim Convy.
Let's talk about that tour for just a second.
Sure.
Sure.
As I understand it.
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is going to be a three-man tour.
Yeah.
It's Sean O'Brien kicking things off.
It'll be, we'll mix it up.
And then, you know, you'll go up, do some stand-up, and then you'll bring Kevin up and you'll do some Convy and Bowers.
Yeah.
Really, we got to sell these events out, guys.
Yeah.
These are my guys right here. I think two or three times I might have said some negative things about them on this podcast.
What?
Yeah. I didn't mean it. They're very, very funny. And this is the first time they're striking out on their own to do...
I don't like the term striking out for this, but...
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have said it that way. Yeah. They are... They're gonna...
Swinging for the fences.
Yeah, they are. They're doing their own tour... And it's in towns that we all love and we've all been to. But when those dates come out, let's jump on them because it's gonna be fun.
On them.
It's gonna be some really, really cool shows. And you know, if there's maybe one of those that I'm not working, I may try to jump on that.
Is that right?
Well. Yeah. If I'm not working that night, I may try to get there and be a surprise guest or something. If you'll have me.
Yeah, send us a tape. We'll take a look, and we will go from there. Yeah, those will be out very soon. TimConveyStuff.com. You can see those. Lots of consumers, hometown type spots. So get ready for that. TimConveyStuff.com, GregWarrenComedy.com. Thank you guys for following us on all the socials, including that Instagram. We're stepping things up, by the way, on
it's
there.
It's cooking.
Just more pictures, especially Austin. We had a lot of behind-the-scenes fun. So if you're not, if you think, oh, I'm already getting all that content, no. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all of it. Get on board. We appreciate you guys.
We are the consumers.
You have the right to charge your what, Tim?
Phone.